right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show from WRCO Radio, pleased to have in the studio Jason Glassbrenner from Richland Economic Development. Good to be here and talk some really good things in the spring, right, Jason?
All right, Phil, let's do it. Sounds good to me. It's always a pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, a lot of things to talk about. I think we wanted to talk about the Entrepreneurs Conference. We're going to have a little bit more about that, but that's pretty exciting stuff for the area.
Yeah, I understand you're going to have some information coming out from Kate Koziel. I think she's interviewed with you guys, but it's a great conference coming up on it's actually sponsored by UW Extension, and there's several sponsors, but I know the team working on it the most are an individual from UW Extension, as well as Kate Koziel again, who is part of Southwestern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. And so it is a conference where it's kind of the first of the kind. It's going to be a two-day conference in Platteville for rural leaders, economic developers, and entrepreneurs that are really interested in how things work with regard to economic and community development. And so I'm excited because I've been asked to present there. I'll be presenting there on Thursday, and my topic of conversation is officially titled, let's see here, I got it on this paper, it's, where'd it go?
This is your homework for
Economic Development Strategy, Roles, and Tactics. They make up the title, and I say, we've reviewed the things that'll be shared, but I'm excited to be there and to talk about tactics and strategies of economic development. So I'd encourage people to look at it. They can just type in UW Extension in a Google search and type in, Wisconsin Connecting Entrepreneurial Conference, and it'll pop up pretty easy. Type in Platteville and Economic Development Conference. It'll come up for you.
Sounds good. And that's for all communities in Southwest Wisconsin?
Yeah, too? I think a lot of the participants will be people from other communities or towns or counties that are looking to share ideas about how to encourage economic and community development in their area. But it's open to everyone. So you can go, you got to register for the conference on that UW Extension website. But anyone can go. And I think there will be business leaders there that are curious how to create those partnerships that are necessary with communities in order to see their dreams and goals, entrepreneurial goals come to fruition.
You've been recently making some public school visits. What have you been talking about there?
Yeah, I was really honored to be invited along with Council President Ryan Cairns. We were invited by Andrew Troxel at the Richland High School to do a presentation on economic development and local governance in the AP Human Geography class there. So we were a part of a couple of classes back on April 25th, and I loved it. It was great. I think Ryan would echo those sentiments. It was just fun to be able to interact with the kids and with Mr. Troxel and hear their ideas about, what they're learning and then trying to apply their concepts to what's actually happening in Richland Center. So I really enjoyed it, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
What's the common question you get from students in a class like that?
Oh, same question you probably get. Like, I think one of the thing, we said, do you have any questions? Yeah, when's X coming to town? And so I can't help but laugh at the fact that that question circulates so much. But it does show that there's a lot of community interest and desire and felt need in the area of certain things. And so, that's one thing. When is this coming? And then the second thing is they were really working on some personal projects in the classroom. And so we did have some really good questions on, well, I would like to do this, or this is my idea. Can we do it kind of like in the city, And so I remember one was, I'd like to build a you know, multi-story building downtown in this area, and I'd like to do it on this lot, for example. I'm like, well, that's a, you know, there's a lot of really cool ideas. But then we were able to say from that idea, okay, here's the number of things that you have to consider in city planning, in zoning and future land use and ordinances and how it affects the people around you. And it really, I think, hopefully was helpful to the kids and to the classroom to get them to say, oh, yeah, it's one thing to have an idea and to dream about that and to create some concepts around it. It's entirely another thing to actually do the detailed planning necessary to execute. And there could be a lot of hurdles that you have to get over in order to actually see your dream or concept come to fruition. So good conversations.
I bet it was. And you don't want to discourage them, but I think they need to know sometimes all of the permits and all the money involved and, you know, things like that, that you maybe don't think of when you're trying to start a business.
Yeah. You know, that's so good. Phil, I think sometimes when people talk to me or when I deal with people, it's possible that they could read me as a person that doesn't think things can happen because of the way that I think about details. And so somebody will say, well, what about this idea? And I'm like, great idea. Here's the next 50 to 100 things that we have to do to see that happen. What I'm really communicating is I'm excited too. I'm dreaming with you. But my job and my expertise is knowing how to execute, knowing all of the things that have to be in order and in alignment for that dream to actually come to fruition. So, to, you know, every person's different. So some person's like, well, you just gave me 50 reasons why it can't happen. I'm like, no, actually, I'm giving you 50 things that we need to do in order that it does happen.
Right.
So it's so interesting how people perceive things differently. And I'm a very optimistic person. I think there were very good ideas in there that are actually probably very viable projects. And so I'm hoping the same thing, kind of what you alluded to, they don't get discouraged. Keep dreaming, keep going, and let's create the actual list of things that we need to do to execute the project and see if we can get it done.
You touched on that with the questions from the school, but rumors are not always such a good thing, you know, when you're talking about, because we've all heard them about, around Richland Center about, oh, this might be coming or that, or that's going out or whatever.
Right.
Not always a good thing, is it?
Yeah, actually, I appreciate the question. It makes my job, the city administrator's job, the council member's job, the mayor's job, it makes it really, really difficult. You know, and it's, you know, rumor, what is it? It's a circulation of a story, you know, some reports, some information that are kind of uncertain, or it's doubtful whether or not it's the truth or just a partial truth or any truth at all. And so it does seem that there's a propensity in the human race to want to talk about things that get you excited, but without having full knowledge of those things, and there are a lot of people trying to work on the things. It can really slow things down. Honestly, it can slow things down a lot, and it can throw hurdles in your way that now that you have to overcome, people don't even know that. Through their conversations, through the rumor mill, they're actually creating work that causes double the amount of work, you know? So it's just very interesting. You know, I know people are excited. I'm equally excited. But there just is a level of propriety that the council has to have, that I have to have in my office, a level of confidentiality. There's a fine line between what needs to be, you know, provided to the public and when it should become public. Because a lot of things that get talked about in my office are at the dreaming or concept stage. So is it really fair to those people that are in my office or those businesses that are in my office that say, hey, we're thinking about this, we're wondering what your ideas are on it. Is it really right for me to then go to the street and say, hey, I just talked to Bob and Sally, they want to do XYZ. And like, that's highly inappropriate. That's their business until they're willing to release the information. And doing so can create false hope in the community. It can actually create unnecessary, like even competition could arise because of that. And that's one of the reasons that a city has to go into closed session to talk about things privately, is because inappropriate discussions in the public can actually make it more difficult for the city and make a competition where the city really doesn't want or need the competition. And if there is competition, what happens is it costs the potentially the city more money. So what the state statute says, you know, in the case that you're negotiating, you can go into closed session. Well, why? So that something isn't released in the public that makes the city pay double of what they should be paying. And it's very hard for, you know, the public to understand those things, but there are just a ton of moving parts and it's exciting to work on.
Mm-hmm. Sure. To hear those dreams kind of behind the scenes, right? Yeah. The city council recently, after a closed session, didn't they come out with a proclamation?
They did. I believe it was published in the paper. The kind of the resolution said the council supports the addition and expansion of business in the city, but does not believe it's appropriate to insert itself into transactions between private parties. However, the city is committed to supporting entrepreneurial efforts and so approves spending not more than $20,000 from the Community Development Fund for planning and assessment services to facilitate improvements in infrastructure. So that was a result of a long, long conversation in a closed session where the city of decision makers are deliberating very carefully. How do they remain responsible to the taxpayers whose money it is they've been charged with appropriately utilizing to develop the city? And their thought process was, hey, we are 100% on board with economic development. They're sponsoring my office. You know, the taxpayers are paying my office through the decision makers, right? And then they're saying, hey, look, we want to be forward thinking. We want to be forward planning. So we're kind of earmarking $20,000. If you have reason to believe that economic development / business development can take place in here, we're authorizing you, Jason, and the city administrator, Ashley, to use those funds to make sure that it happens. But the money has to be used towards supporting services and facilitating improvement in infrastructure. So I'm very pleased with the group of, you know, council members that are there, and I think we've got a lot of good things happening, and I look forward to what I think could be coming in the future.
Recently, it was announced too, there's some money available, some congressional funds coming your way.
Right, we kind of covered that the last time, but it is it's an exciting thing, but also a lot of work, right? So we were awarded $2.5 million, and I've talked about that. I think it's been covered in the paper quite well, but it was a $2.5 million congressional-directed spending grant for the purpose of extending utilities and roads and things like that to the east, and specifically around the future location of the hospital. And so that process will be an extensive process, and we've received a few emails. It's been assigned to Housing and Urban Development, HUD. We know that's the agency that we have to work with, but they sent us a email that probably had 10 different things that we had to do, and then said, and here's a webinar that you're going to have to be at. And then they sent out an email that said, oh, by the way, the webinar is not going to happen on that day. It's going to happen in the future. Something happened. So it is very exciting to be awarded those dollars. But make no mistake, there is a lot of work that will come with those dollars. But you know, that is the way that our community is going to be able to progress and move forward without putting all of that burden of need, you know, the money that's necessary on the taxpayer. So we love grants, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So that project will come to fruition eventually, hopefully in the area in the near future. So,
the road and infrastructure improvement.
Right.
Yeah. As far as we know, I mean, there's a lot of process that we have to go through, including some environmental studies that they've been alluding to. And then we have to basically you almost have to reapply for the money with HUD. So, It's been earmarked and allocated for us, but yeah, there are a lot of hurdles to get over to make before we actually start or get to the point where we're able to utilize it. Something could go wrong. We hope not, but it could. It's not outside the realm of possibility, you know.
Speaking of grants as well, I believe Los Amigos is moving forward with one of their projects.
Yeah, and we have covered that before in the past, but it's a great one to talk about. Progress continues to be made there. Carlos and Carolina and their team continue to move forward. I know the contractor, general contractor there, Jeremy Newberry, he's on the project now and working. So they're expanding what would be to the north and to the building that's north of them, you know, increasing their dining space and their meetings, gathering space. And so the grant dollars are there. Again, we were able to work together and the city was able to be a part of being the conduit for Los Amigos receiving $153,000. That's part of a community development investment grant through WDC. So that's exciting. It's really good for the downtown development.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Any word on Panorama Estates? I think we talk about that most every time you're here, too.
We do. I wish it was something that I could bring to you and say, hey, look, there's dirt moving and concrete flying and, studs and lumber going up, you know, but that's not the case yet. It is still in legal, what I would just call a category of legal. So legal conversations back and forth between my office, city administrator, and the decision makers of the city, and then the legal team of the developer. So we're still very optimistic. It's just that sometimes there are things that slow you down that you just wish you didn't have to deal with, but you do. And but we remain very optimistic and hopeful that the ink will, you know, get placed on that final agreement, and they'll be able to start the project.
You breathe a sigh of relief when you do start to see that dirt moving, don't you?
More than you know.
I bet.
More than you know.
Yeah, it's finally going. Speaking of which, I know the project is delayed as well. The street project up by the cemetery, too, that's not been happening yet.
The 8th Street project. Yeah, I think you were alluding to the fact that you may have had a team from our utilities
we did.
Come in. Yeah, and so that's good to continue to repeat. I know we covered it in a meeting yesterday that there were alternative plans made for the Memorial Day service or celebration, and that alternative plan remains in place. The project has been delayed because of the weather, right? Surprise. So, but the challenge with that is there are just a lot of moving parts. There were a lot of meetings to make sure that we had good opportunities for people, that we could still have that ceremony. And the police were involved, and you know, all the utilities involved, and the street departments are involved, and the city administrators involved, and you know, the engineers are involved. It just is not something you can move simply. You just can't say, okay, we changed our mind. You know, a lot of notices have been given to a lot of people. In addition, we're hopeful that the contractor is going to show up tomorrow. You know, we don't know for sure when something, you know, breaks for them, or you know, they're able to break someone loose and say, okay, get on there and start moving things. So, the plans remain as has been planned for the last several months for the Memorial Day ceremony.
And concerning that, the weather for Monday doesn't sound all that favorable, so they might be moving it to the high school anyway. We'll just have to have you stay tuned on that one.
I guess so, right? What are you seeing for the weather?
Well, they're talking about rain Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
And light showers.
That's so. Just, you know, a lot of people, in addition to, you know, wanting to honor those that have fallen before us, do in their time of thankfulness, hopefully, you know, are also breathing a sigh of relief and kind of taking in spring and summer and, you know, the beginning of summer. And so the colder weather and the rain may not be to everyone's liking, right?
Yeah. You just never know about that Memorial weekend. You can get all kinds of weather, that's for sure. Any update, Jason, on the city purchased land?
Yeah, so that's land down there on Orange Street and at the corner of Orange and Court. And that continues to move forward. There is a sale purchase agreement between the city and the current property owner. And there are things taking place there. I don't know, people may have noticed there was a pole shed there. Structure that's been removed. I know that I'm pretty sure that the other home that's there, it's an older home that's due to be removed in the next couple of weeks. And the goal is for the city to become the property owner for that property on June 24th is the hope. Things can change here or there, but yeah, things continue to move forward. And I'm really excited about that because that really is a culmination of things that started over 2 years ago with a planning grant and some technical services that were offered to the city through my office by the DNR and from the Environmental Protection Agency. So we were able to use those grants to create some concept plans, to do some studies, to do environmental studies and work, to chart a path forward for what that whole block could look like. And again, it's been working on it for a couple of years, and to actually have it to this point, I'm very thankful to the decision makers for having the vision to say, yep, this is a worthwhile thing to invest in and could really be a huge benefit to our downtown area. And we're moving. So sometimes, again, just a little slower than we want.
Well, you talk about dreams. You know, there are a lot of ideas and dreams that could be used for, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of study put into that by the EPA consulting group. And, you know, there was commercial business space identified, additional hotel rooms identified as potential use, housing, you know, kind of multi-use area, a street, a street parkscape. Anyway, a street that would be talking about taking Jefferson, the cross section of Jefferson between, it'd be Court and what's the next one? Is it Union? Might be Court and Union. Anyway, there's a section of Jefferson there that would be closed off to through traffic, but then would become actually a gathering space, a city park, you know. So there's a lot of cool things that could be doing, a lot of excitement, and a really nice venue that could be created for, you know, the community to gather around.
It's a mistake to ask somebody who's lived around here all their life about what streets, because I just go by who. Remember Bob's house? He lived up there on the.
You're the same way. I don't think I can name half the streets I lived on in my life because I just I live over there.
Yeah, I lived over that street, right? But no, that's really exciting news. We'll talk more about economic development in the city of Richland Center when we return with more on The Morning Show. Jason Glassbrenner, our guest from Economic Development here today on WRCO Radio for an update on the City of Richland Center and some things going on. We've talked a little bit about the new signs. Any status on that lately, Jason?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. So Greeley Signs is working hard on the project. I mean, I know that for certain they've got the aluminum in for a lot of the wayfinding signs. And I was talking to Mara and Al down there, and they said, We're cutting them out because there's a shape to the top part of the logo part of the wayfinding signs. And so there's, you know, paint color work they've been doing and the laminating vinyl, all the selections there, and making sure that the directions are right and the arrows are pointing the right way. And it's pointing to people where there's parking and not parking and parks and trail, you know, so it is actually a very big project to get and to do a good job of. So we're thankful to Greeley Signs for working with us, and we're very hopeful we're going to have signs soon. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll really dress up the area too.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah. Maybe you could review how to get started. You know, if you're talking about a business, like if I want to put up a business here on Highway 14.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest task to go through, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a great question. And so, for example, the first thing you have to consider if you're on a major highway, is it what they call a connecting highway, or is it a full-fledged a DOT state, you know, regulated highway? So there's a difference. A connecting highway is a highway that basically the state highway just rides on, but it's still primarily the municipality's responsibility to set up rules around it. So there's a lot more flexibility on a connecting highway than there is on a full state kind of owned and operated highway. So Highway 14, for most of the section here by WRCO, I think it starts at Bowman Drive and then continues out towards the east. That's all state. It's a state highway, and it's state highway in the connecting highway zone too. But again, where it's pure state highway, the regulations are much more strict. So if we want to do something here by you, Phil, and
lemonade stand, or
yeah, lemonade stand. So we got to start out with contacting the DOT, and there's a process you go through. It's an initial DOT review. I've recently been through one of those. It was about $2,500. It's not just the DOT you're working with. You're working with an engineering firm to gather the information. They're submitting to a DOT engineer. The engineer is then reviewing it and sending it on to a group, you know, that reviews it. So that's one thing. Then if you can kind of get through an initial review, you have to do conceptual design review. Then one of the big things everybody wants to know is, well, how much cost is involved with doing what the DOT would prescribe to you, or what is necessary to improve the access to Highway 14? So you have an estimated cost to construct process that you're employing engineers to go through. Then you're probably in the area of what's called an abbreviated or a full traffic impact analysis, which is another, it's level two. So you do the initial DOT review, and then you go into an abbreviated or a full traffic impact analysis. That can have fees depending upon the scope of the project of anywhere from 10 to, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands of dollars if we were talking about an interstate in the center of Chicago or something, you know. But out here, you know, we might be in the area of $10,000 to $20,000 for this traffic impact analysis. Then you would move into a phase of full engineering design, where you're looking at how the intersection you're creating is responding to the current flow of traffic. You'd have to then go through a project approval process with the state. And on top of that, you're going to have to move through a traffic light improvement analysis, because the minute you set up at an intersection that's been operating one way for X period of time and you're introducing new traffic, then your traffic light signals don't work properly any longer.
Oh, sure.
And the lines that are painted on the highway don't work any longer, and you have to consider like traffic backups and how long people are waiting at the light, and then they grade the level of traffic flow through the intersection, and you know, and then you actually have to pay for the improvements themselves, right? So you know, oh, and then you have DNR involvement if there's any sign of wetland, and where's the water going to go, and you're disturbing more than an acre of land. And I mean, it is endless, the number of things, not endless, but you get my point. There are a ton of things to go on. And so it's just a little bit of a disservice to the professionals to say, we could have had that done yesterday. We're trying really hard.
Wow. So if I'm going to bring back my hot dog and three bean salad stand, it's going to take a little bit of time, it sounds like.
So. It just depends where it's located. Some sites are easier and more prepared, but it could be a challenge. It could be, but I'll do all I can to make it as easy as possible.
Okay,
Phil, I promise.
I know you work closely with the city council. How does that work in terms of what you're seeing and what they authorize and things like that?
Yeah, so again, we reviewed this a little bit, but I think it's a good thing for us to continue to talk about, each time that I'm on maybe, but take all of those things that, on a little spreadsheet I've been working here, those things were several hundred thousand dollars that I just mentioned. And now take those things and I'm looking at it from a professional level, like kind of understanding at a deeper level what the rules and regulations and the processes and, procedure that we have to move through.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for coming in. Jason Glassbrenner, Economic Development Director. We're going to talk about a special event coming up that recognizes veterans. Dan Coble will be with us coming up in just a moment on The Morning Show.
Dunkin' Reward members can look forward to the fresh offers, including a $2 medium hot or iced coffee. Limit one per member per day. Triple points when boosted members place an order through the mobile app on Wednesdays. And 100 bonus points for all members who place an order through the mobile app on Mondays. Those who aren't Dunkin' Rewards members can sign up for free on the Dunkin' app or by visiting DunkinRewards.com. Get a free medium beverage with your first purchase. So quick sign up and start earning free Dunkin' today. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time at 6:30 is sponsored by Computer Connections, Y Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you. Also sponsored by BL Signs, watch your business grow. A high of 74 today, breezy with occasional showers and thunderstorms starting by late morning, some of which could be strong. Right now in Richland Center, we're at 59 degrees.
BL Signs LLC is a full-service sign design and signage construction company located near Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications. The goal at BL Signs is to provide all customers with high-quality custom signage, competitive pricing, and on-time delivery. From electric message centers to interior door signs, they do it all. BL Signs, 647-0149.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Madison has nearly recovered from this week's severe weather. Madison Gas and Electric says 90% of customers who lost power Tuesday night have their power back. About 46,000 customers were without power, the largest outage in recent history. Full restoration might take a few more days as poles and downed lines are repaired. Madison Public Works has opened up brush collection to help people clear their yards of debris as well. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding people to be safe on the water this Memorial Day weekend. Wardens say there are 30 boating fatalities every year, and also all but one of those fatalities have involved someone not wearing their life jacket, which is the easiest way to save your life. Whoever is driving the boat is reminded to stay sober because drunk boating is another leading contributor to serious incidents. A search warrant in Dodgeville led to drug arrests. Dodgeville Police Chief Brandon Wilhelm reports that at approximately 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, members of the Richland, Iowa Grant Drug Task Force executed a warrant in the city. Multiple items were recovered, including, but not limited to, approximately a quarter pound of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. As a result of the search, Chad Rogers, 39, of Dodgeville, was arrested and charged with felony possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and two counts of felony bail jumping. He was also charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. A minor was also arrested for felony possession with intent to deliver as a party to a crime. The Republican Party of Wisconsin names delegates to this summer's convention in Milwaukee. The RPW's list of 41 delegates has some familiar names, including former governors Tommy Thompson and Scott Walker, and 2022 candidate for governor Tim Michaels. Other delegates include State Senator Corey Tomczyk, Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney, State Treasurer John Lieber, and RPW Chair Brian Schimming. The RNC is scheduled for July 15th through the 18th at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Despite a slight decrease in the projected surplus, Wisconsin's fiscal footing appears sound. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau projects the state will end the 2023-25 biennium with a more than $3.1 billion surplus. That's down slightly from the $3.25 billion from January revenue estimates. Fiscal Bureau Director Bob Lang told WisPolitics the numbers are tracking well compared to the agency's estimate and that the LFB is comfortable on where they are. State tax collections through the month of April were up 0.9% over the year before, slightly ahead of the 0.4% growth that Fiscal Bureau had projected for the current year. The latest Department of Revenue numbers show income and sales tax collections are up compared to the same period a year earlier, accounting for $13.1 billion of the $16 billion the state took in between July 1st and April 30th. A UW professor is on the news, or in the news today, talking about the newest alcohol science.
You've likely already heard. New research shows the safest amount of alcohol is none, with consumption tied to various cancers. Dr. Noel LeConte is an oncologist and associate professor of medicine at UW-Madison. She says the science is clear.
Alcohol is metabolized in our body to a compound called acetaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen.
LeConte's advice is straightforward.
Don't start drinking if you don't do it now, and if you are drinking and you want to cut down, talk to your doctor first.
Acknowledging the role alcohol plays in Wisconsin culture, the Manitowoc native says she loves the state, but believes we can do better. You can hear her full interview at WRN.com. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Police say a raid on two homes in Stevens Point has taken $60,000 in meth and other drugs out of the community. Police Lieutenant Joe Johnson says seven people were arrested during the raids. Tips from neighbors help police make the arrests. The drought monitor shows a big improvement for Wisconsin, particularly the drought-stricken area in the lower Wisconsin River Valley. Only 5% of the state is now considered to be in moderate drought, and no areas are in severe drought anymore. A stretch of southwestern Wisconsin that includes most of Sauk County and parts of neighboring counties, including Richland, Vernon, and Juneau, are still in drought. The state was last drought-free exactly 1 year ago. The monitor's data was taken before the storms on Tuesday.
It's internet for everyone from Y Connect Wireless. Y Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Y Connect Wireless.
The forecast calls for a high of 74 today, mostly cloudy and breezy, with occasional showers and thunderstorms starting by late morning. Some thunderstorms could be strong today. For tonight, any showers or thunderstorms ending, then partly cloudy, a low of 45. Saturday, partly cloudy and mild, a high of 73. Saturday night, increasingly cloudy, a low of 45. And Sunday, breezy, with occasional showers and thunderstorms, and a high of 67. 68 Monday, Memorial Day, variable clouds and breezy with spotty light showers possible. In Richland Center, it is right now 60 degrees. We're up exactly 6 from the overnight low that followed yesterday's high of 78 degrees. No precipitation here at the WRCO studios. A reminder, today is Puppy Day. The Richland Center American Legion Auxiliary Post 13 will be at area businesses for Puppy Day. Make a donation and receive a puppy.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that one third of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself, activate the immune system, and give your heart a break. Want to sleep on a Wisconsin-made high-quality mattress? Stop down to our new sister company, Bed & Linen, located on Highway 14, Spring Green, and let us show you why we wake up so refreshed.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Lots of high school sports. To recap from yesterday, we'll get at it next. When the look is casual, the name is Mr. G's. When the emphasis is on active wear, the name is Mr. G's. Because Mr. G's clothing truly is a special clothing store. Now is the best time to update your casual wear for spring and summer with a selection you'll find at Mr. G's. Choose from all the top names, from casual to active wear, and from dress shoes to work boots. The name is Mr. G's. Mr. G's in the Richland Square, in Richland Center, and Viroqua.
Choose Mr. G's.
Congratulations to track athletes, including Richland Center's Malachi Fretz, who will be going on as a sectional champion from the Portage invite that was held yesterday. He was first place in the run that will take him to state in the 1600. Also yesterday, Danica Pauls advanced in the pole vault for the Richland Center girls. Kaylee Miller for Ithaca Weston will be going to state in high jump. Also, Kaylee Peterson in the 800, Clayton Lee in the 1600, and also the 4x1 girls for Ithaca Weston headed to state. Kaylee Miller, Aubrey Cook, Tristan Peterson, and Kaylee Peterson. And as mentioned, state-bound for several of the Ithaca Weston track athletes who had a good day yesterday. Tim Bailey of Riverdale advances after taking first in the 100 and 200 as well yesterday in action held at Bangor. And Kaylee Carter for the Riverdale girls finished third in the pole vault. The Ithaca softball team won a WIAA regional championship 4-1 over Seneca. Bulldogs senior pitcher Olivia Young had an outstanding game, pitching for the victory, going the distance, striking out 11 and walking 2, allowing 4 base runners, and at one point of the game retired 13 in a row. Two freshmen led the way at the plate, J.C. Maxwell 2-for-3 with an RBI, and Maylee Plemer 2-for-2 with a walk. Kaylee Newkirk drove in a run, and Josie Lau singled and scored for Ithaca as they improved to 17-2. They'll prepare to host sectional semifinal action on Tuesday against Hillsboro. The Tigers won a regional championship 8-1 over Brookwood. In other Division 5 action, Judah Albany 2-1 over Belmont, and Barneveld edged Highland 4-3. In Division 4, Blair Taylor 7-5 over Cashton, Fenimore 11-0 over Mineral Point, and it was Cuba City advancing, edging Boscobel, final score 2-1. In Division 3, River Valley was down at 1.7 runs, came back to tie, sent it into extra frames. They won in 8, 11-10 over Lancaster. And Adams Friendship with a big upset. They're a fifth seed, knocking off number one Prairie du Chien 4-3 in tournament softball. Also last night in Division 2, Mount Horeb 20-3 over Wisconsin Dells, and West Salem beat Portage 4-0. In baseball, Trevor Westfall pitched a complete game with 57 pitches, allowing no earned runs on 3 hits and no walks and 8 strikeouts as the Weston Silver Eagles opened up tournament play with a 4-0 victory over Kickapoo, a game that took a total of 1 hour and 6 minutes last night. Also in Division 4, it was Cashton advancing with a 12-3 victory over Hillsboro. They'll play the Ithaca Bulldogs, the number one seed in the half-sectional. Ithaca had a first-round bye in the tournament. Seneca edged North Crawford 4-2. Wazika Steuben 10-4 over New Lisbon. Brookwood 2-1 over Lafarge Youth Initiative. River Ridge 3-2. 2 against Schulzberg Benton, and Barneveld advanced with a 10-2 victory in their game against Argyle Blackhawk. Iowa Grant 6-4 over Southwestern. The Panthers, the next opponent of the Riverdale Chieftains, who had a bye in the first round. In Division 3, Fenimore 4-3 in 10 innings over Luther. Prairie du Chien by a score of 8-2, got by Melrose Mondoro, and Westby shut out Boscobel 11-0. Darlington 3-0 over Westfield. Mineral Point 9, Lancaster 6, and Cuba City edged Dodgeville 2-1. Moving on to Division 2, a big upset. Richland Center's Hornets went to Portage and won. Richland Center, a 12th seed in the sectional, defeated number 5 Portage by a score of 2-1 in 9 innings. Sauk Prairie 5-2 over Wisconsin Dells. Mount Horeb 11-0 over Adams Friendship. Lodi got the win against Baraboo 7-1. And also Platteville got the victory against River Valley 7-6 to advance in the tournament. The Riverdale Chieftains defeated 12th-rated Royal 3-0 in a regular season game last night. The Chieftains got another great pitching performance from Logan Cagle as he went 6 innings, striking out 8 and giving up just 2 hits. Chase Chitwood came in to nail down the win in the action. Chase would go 2-for-3 with an RBI. The Chieftains open tournament play on Tuesday. Well, the Brewers were off last night. They are first place in the National League Central, 28-21, going to Boston in Fenway Park. The Red Sox are 26-24, third in the AL East. Bryce Wilson on the mound for the Brewers, countering with Cutter Crawford. The Red Sox will be playing ball tonight, and it's a 6:10 Central Time game, 5:40 pregame on WRC. FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Atlanta beat the Cubs 3-0. San Francisco over Pittsburgh 7-6. The Yankees 5-0 over Seattle. Also, it was Toronto 9,
our guest in this part of the morning show is Dan Koba, who has a big event coming up during this upcoming Memorial Weekend. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. It's
in the NHL,
always a pleasure
Edmonton
to see you. You know, this is my 26th radio station that I've been on this week.
Will allow you to get all those many jobs. That have been sitting there too long. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store.
Yeah,
that's Kubota
there.
Tractors will push, pull,
makes my head swell a little bit.
There you go. Back into shape.
So, Kubota Apache Blues, the film.
Price rate from 18 to 62 horsepower. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota tractors at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14.
Our guest in this part of the morning show is Dan Koba, who has a big event coming up during this upcoming Memorial Weekend. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to see you. You know, this is my 26th radio station that I've been on this week.
This week?
But you're my favorite.
Well, that, that puts me up there. Makes my head swell a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Apache Blues, the film, we've talked about it.
Finally,
since,
it's out.
Since its inception, way back when.
Yeah, four years ago we started with this thing.
And, my goodness.
It's just been amazing. We've got Dave Merlino and Dustin Sweet, the two directors of the movie, are coming from Taos, New Mexico, and Spokane, Washington, to be a part of this. This is actually, we can't call it premiere because we had the premiere for the Oscar nomination out in California last year, which we did not win. But anyway, I wrote the... The final song for the movie, and we're going to start out on the 25th of May in Ontario. If you know, do you know much about Ontario?
I've been there a few times. I go up to Brookwood High School.
There you go. Well, I want you to know that we call everything the Ball Diamond, and the Ball Diamond is right downtown, and that's where we're. Gunderson Hospital is setting up a 20x16 outdoor screen. People have to bring their lawn chairs because we're hoping for so many people. And the Kay Sterling Band will start at 3:00 in the afternoon, followed by my band at 6:00. And my band is going to do like a set of some covers and some originals, upbeat stuff. And then at 7 o'clock, we have the presentation of colors from the Ontario Legion. We have Mick Cosgrove is coming from Richland Center, and he's going to be one of the chaplains representing the High Ground. And the other one is John Weitzel, and he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's from here too, isn't he?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Couple local guys.
And he is going to be representing the National Vietnam Memorial. And those guys will give some kind of an invocation. And then we're going to have a young man by the name of Hunter Everson, who's a school teacher at Brookwood, who just so happened to sing the national anthem for the Green Bay Packer game. So I figure if he could do that, he can do it for us, too.
I would guess so. Yeah, that's a stringent thing to get to be chosen to sing the national anthem, so he must be good.
He's got to be.
Yeah. It's coming up this weekend. Very fitting that you do it over Memorial Weekend, I believe.
Well, this is actually not just for the Blues. This is for all vets.
Right.
And I want that very, very, very clear. I am not a vet. I've been very, very fortunate to be around a lot of them, and I've interviewed a lot of them. And I can tell you that these kind of programs and the music that I write and the get-togethers are all tremendous help for these guys. PTSD is a real thing. They need to get it out.
No doubt. This is a big thing in Ontario. You're going to, what, quadruple the population of Ontario if everybody shows up that you think would?
I'd like to maybe 10 times.
Think bigger, huh?
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be.
Yeah, then old Leroy Baldwin, the guy that runs the main table in the River's End Bar, will say, Koba, you're not full of...
So there's no admission fee to get in.
We're encouraging donations, of course. We're picking up the tab. There's 9 of the Blues are coming. The Blues, by the way, were the search and rescue boys of Vietnam, of which Dwayne Blore is one of them. And they're coming from North Carolina to Monterey, California, from Brownsville, Texas to Minneapolis. So they're coming from all over. This movie, when you think about the two directors of the movie, neither of them were even born during Vietnam. But a guy by the name of Craig Jorgensen, who was one of the Blues, was working on the border with Dave Merlino, and he was telling him stories about being in the service. And it must have inspired him enough to go and get his buddy Dustin Sweet, who's a movie maker. And these guys traveled 40,000 miles in a Tahoe over a 4-year period of time. And that's where the theme song, The Veterans Trail, comes from. It's about these two guys driving around and interviewing these men.
The film will be shown at 9.
Or whenever it gets dark.
Or whenever it gets dark. Okay. So you'll be showing...
We'll say 9.
Okay. Tell us about the film.
It's tear-jerking. It's... In the very beginning, Ed Beal from North Carolina, he can barely even speak. But in the end, 4 years later, he's carrying on a conversation and very, very open. Dwayne Blore, my buddy from Hillsboro.
Yeah, you've had him on our show
before. Yeah, he's... by the way, this guy's got 2 Purple Hearts, 2 Bronze Stars, and a Silver Star. On March 19th of 1970, he was awarded the Silver Star for saving his platoon. But he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about it. He's purely humble. I love him for it, and I think his guys in the Blues love him for it, and that's why they're coming.
coming for him.
Yeah.
But it'll be a big reunion. It'll be a big
It'll be a big reunion. And
be a lot of things. Maybe a little bit of healing.
We've got vendors, food vendors. Somebody's going to go and I think they're going to put what's an air tattoo?
I don't know.
Well, they're going to put air tattoos on kids, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
A fake one.
You can have lemonade, ice cream, beef, pork, chicken, you name it, you can have it. But it's, and there's going to be raffles all day long. And I saw a rifle that Henry Rifle gave out to our organization to raffle off. It's a commemorative Vietnam 22. It is absolutely beautiful. And whatever we get out of the thing, we get to keep. So we're going to, everything that we're doing is either going to go to Tunnels to Towers or picking up the tab on the blues coming here.
So the raffle, is that going on now or is it only going on the day of the event?
It's going on the day of the event.
Okay.
Only, yeah. But it's, this is going to be, I'm hoping it's the biggest thing that ever hit Ontario. I really do.
Sounds like it has the makings for
it. One of the reasons why we're in Ontario, mind you, is that the owners of the River's End Bar are Duane and Mary Bloor's nephew, David, and his wife, Paula. But the whole town has come together, and I think that's the other reason why we're in Ontario, because, Phil, there's no red tape, man.
Dan Koba, thanks for coming down. Remember, that's coming up this Saturday, the 25th of May in Ontario, Wisconsin. Tom Miller joins us on WRCO for Miller Implement in Dodgeville. Well, what's new there, my friend?
Well, it's a lot of funny things happening, but we've got a robot running around our yard right now mowing my lawn.
That's like a dream come true, isn't it?
It is. It's called Robo One. That's what we call him, and he's out there cutting. Yesterday, he did everything diagonally, and today he's going crisscross, and he is programmed. It's GPS-driven, and that means there's no wires in the ground. We have a transponder on the building, and he can do about 2.5 acres a day, and it's unbelievable what they could do. The reason we have that is it's a new market for us. We're seeing a lot of people wanting to engage the mowing themselves, but they don't want to personally have to do it. So this machine is designed to run 24/7 and cut your lawn, and you never have to touch it. So it's really a great idea. We've got the technology and everything here. It's made by Husqvarna. So if just think about it next time you come to Miller Itman, you're going to see a machine running around cutting this lawn. You're going to say, what in the heck is going on? Well, that is something new that you'll see more and more of. You know, it's not unusual for us to be the first in something. We've been doing that for years. But Husqvarna has been a good company to work with. Right now we have their Z54 right now with a Kawasaki engine. It's a heavy-duty deck. It's $34.99 less $300, so that brings it down to $31.99. And there's 0% for 24 months. So it's really a great program for an entry-level mower that you're looking at 2 or 3 acres. It's perfect for the right guy. So keep that in mind. Of course, Husqvarna has gone even further. They have 15% off all of their commercial items right now. And in all the homeowner and electric programs, there's discounts and some beyond 15%. Some are just a stated dollar, but the key here is they're an aggressive company. They realize that they want to get things going, and of course, we're full-fledged dealers. We handle it all. A good example, we literally have a Z560LS, which is 38.5 horsepower. It is a 60-inch, what we call spring ride system, beautiful design. It's supposed to sell for $14,799. They have a 15% program right now, $12,579. Guess what? We have a demo with just a couple hours on for $9,000. So we're talking about the top of the top of the line for $9,000. So key here is we do buy right because we buy at volume. We get it purchased, and we can pass on those savings to the customer. And that's the key here at Miller Implement. It always has been. We're a volume purchaser. We believe in good service. Get as many units out as you can. And, of course, the whole idea is to get you to join our family, Phil. It's really important because we really want more and more people to do business with us, and they have to earn it, so that we're going after that type of business all the time.
You're just making it so much easier to get done mowing faster, you know, or if you use the RoboMower, you can just sit in the shade and drink grape knee-highs while your yard looks beautiful, right?
Well, exactly. And now we don't encourage people getting drunk and things like that, but it's possible if you want to just watch your lawnmower all day and drink. Mm-hmm. You could probably just sit back and totally get drunk, but that's not the whole purpose behind it.
Not on great knee highs, but, you know, I mean.
No. But here's the key. Along with that, we have the Gravely Aarons line, and Aarons and Gravely have some specials running right now, ranging from $200 all the way up to almost $2,000. Those programs will go away, though. They're not going to last forever. In fact, on the 29th of May, most of them disappear. So if you're thinking about buying a Gravely and Aarons, and we've got some fantastic programs going on them, most of those programs are ours. We aren't running these with the company. We're actually doing them on our own. So literally, you can go to another Gravely dealer, and he'll say, well, what are you talking about? They can't do that. Well, Phil, we buy them right, we can sell them right, and that's the key. So the best thing to do is get here to Dodgeville, Wisconsin. We're at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm Fleet, hey, they're open. That's great. It's good to have them as neighbors. Don't be afraid to get here. We're 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 12:30 on Saturday. Go to www.MuellerRental.com. That's our internet site. You'll see just about everything we have there. Don't be afraid to go to Craigslist. On the left-hand side, punch in Mueller. You'll see all of our specials, especially our used. We have a great selection to use right now, so it's a good time.